shame and remorse.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Yes!
This is the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host.
The sex podcast. Of the sex that you just buggered up for. I fucked up our intro.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
Just really shut
did.
Up and let Salsa go.
Okay.
Which, sorry. You'll never hear me say that again. But, okay.
Hosts you with.
For fuck's sake, Yoda.
It worked.
It did.
Better than Matt.
Salsa.
Matt.
And Jenna.
And we're joined this episode by...
Randerly for, yay, 5 seconds
for
before.
First long is muffin last.
Really, she's here for the muffin and the booze.
Yep.
To
and
be
that's,
fair, that is
I've been enjoying
smart.
The shame muffin.
Shame muffin.
So, hey, y'all. Who knows when you'll hear this, but we're back.
So, are we, Kyle?
I think this, well, I mean, we literally are back here. That's about as far as we know.
Yeah,
this
yeah
is,
there's
this
that.
Tells you a lot about our particular brand of psychosis is that we quite literally now know, even if no one's listening, we will show up.
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is like
we have recorded 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And no one's heard any of them.
We are the cargo cult of podcasts, where we've made a radio tower that signals to no one, and we're hoping that something.
Oh my God, you guys! I have so much shit to promote this show. That's bullshit. I don't. But oh my God.
Yeah.
Yep. Way
yeah,
to
we
go.
Don't know what we're doing anymore.
Or why.
Or why.
Talking into the microphone.
Microphone. You know what would make this make me feel better?
Huh.
A drink.
Yep.
Oh my God. You guys, I got to do the drink tonight.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
it's because I had practice.
I gotta point out, Jenna makes a pretty fancy looking drink there, so you might have to up your game.
Yeah.
Because that's got...
Hold on, pause. Once she's been doing it for 4 years, we'll see how fancy your drinks are.
I will happily let you
know. Honestly,
so will I!
Pause for a second. My drink looks fancier and takes way less time than most of your drinks.
Good, you're the new booze master.
No, I'm not.
Nope, no, sorry, it's too late.
That's not a title conferred.
We said it on the internet. Oh, wait, no one heard it. No one knows.
Oh, motherfucker! What do I do with my internet fame?
Oh,
I'm so glad Raiderly has my back.
That tree fell in the forest. No one heard it.
What the fuck are we drinking, Jeff?
We're drinking. Well, it is mint julep month.
It is
supposedly.
Despite our slight detour last week.
Wait, what the fuck did you guys do last week? I couldn't even listen.
We drank delicious beer because you were in.
Yep.
Oh, fuck off.
We had the best beer.
Yeah, we had a bunch of New Glarus because we had porter and.
Oh sure.
Here. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, Jenna's not here, so we might as well do
so
this now. So
may as well hop it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, well, I'm then returning us to mint julep.
You bring us back true to form.
Bringing it back, you guys. I'm bringing.
The train back on the rails.
So what we have today is a raspberry mint julep.
Mm.
And it is probably going to be heavier on the raspberry than the mint.
Because there's legit raspberries.
That,
oh, yeah,
yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, mine's fancy as
hey,
fuck.
Salsa, have you taken your stuff?
Nope.
Huh. Well.
Enjoy your drinks.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yay,
I'll,
more for us.
For those
she did
who
this
don't
on
know,
purpose.
For those who don't know, Salsa will die if he eats raspberries.
Totally forgot about that. I can make you another one without the raspberries,
Jenna
but
makes
it's
her
still
move
the juice.
Yeah, let's do that.
Right?
Okay.
I thought she already did.
I'll do that. In the meantime, so Raiderly, you get 2.
Yes. Well, I mean, since I'm not actually part of the cast, I was already imbibing, so...
you can do that. That's
all right. So, anyway, yeah, this is, and I don't, it's kind of ghetto, because I don't measure.
Oh,
and,
no.
To make it even more so, I got wild turkey. Because
fucking wild turkey.
Look, if you're going to go Kentucky
pretty.
Bourbon.
We're pretty.
That's about as bourbon-y Kentucky
right.
goes.
Yeah. All right, well, cheers to that.
So, yeah.
Cheers
later. It's about maybe a quarter bourbon and then some... I got
quarter of
some,
a pint glass is the measurement here.
Yeah.
There's just a quarter. We
should
do context. Quarter of a pint.
Well, I mean, a quarter to three quarters is basically what it is.
Quarter
is,
of a jam jar.
Bourbon to
knee
juice.
Knee high to a grasshopper.
Bourbon to juice with some raspberries in there, some...
minty goodness.
Finger muddled mint.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I fingered the hell out of that mint.
Yeah,
you did.
Woo!
All right, let's do this.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's boozy.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know,
boozy.
With the chocolate muffin of shame over here, it's really good.
Nice. I can all see, right. Oh, raspberry and chocolate, of course.
Oh,
that makes perfect sense.
You guys talk, I'm going to make salsa drink.
All right.
Woo!
Woo!
So,
I'm this
needy.
Pretty flower over here now.
Aw, you're
needy.
Delicate.
Needy.
I'm eating shame muffin, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it's salsan. Salsa?
How about I talk? Matt and I, we're actually recording pretty late right now.
There you go. You were going where I was going.
Only fast. Nope, nope,
oh, and there's the dying. There's the raspberry. It attacked. So they had rehearsal tonight.
You stroke out. I'm shoving a wallet in your mouth. I'm taking your wallet.
But I need that.
Well, that's true. I forgot you're here. You're a witness.
I mean,
because we had rehearsal.
My side of the story.
I mean,
because we had rehearsal for our upcoming show. Yep. Picked up right where I left off.
Mm-hmm.
Seamlessly. Nobody noticed.
Yep.
More yep.
That.
no one's heard it anyways.
The remount of Mystery and Mystery Lodge.
It nigh approaches. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. sooner than I thought all of a sudden. Now it's like a month away.
Yeah. And we only have like three rehearsals.
And we're working through basically a similar script, but with different revelations.
The first half is almost identical.
Yeah, just some subtle clues change.
The second half is completely different.
Yeah, it suddenly goes off the rails again, and it's like, oh, neat. And we have different roles and different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we really just got, like, we finally kind of got our ankle in it tonight when it was time to wrap. And it was like, okay, this is going to be fun.
Woohoo!
Very much looking forward to that. And I think, just like last time, if you just go on Facebook and look for Mystery Mystery Lodge,
I don't think we have an event yet. We should.
If we don't, we will soon.
By the time anyone actually hears this, you'll have an event.
Also
how about that?
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep harping on it.
Hopefully before then we have our website back up. But
yeah. Hopefully, I'm hoping that we get that in the next week or two.
Either way, that's June 23rd, and it's going to be completely different whodunits.
Wait, June 23rd or July 23rd?
July. Is what I totally said in my brain.
June 23rd is in 2 days. Yeah.
Totally what I said in my brain.
Yeah, if we repeat the first one, we could do that quickly. Yeah. But new one, not yet. So yeah, no, it's looking good. It's going to be fun. Same cast, which is nice, because they were
helps
all
a lot
to work with. And yes, that
but we also have some reblocking and stuff like that, because now we have a better idea of our staging area. And so there's,
it's nice not having to imagine what the place looks like. So when we go, the door towards the bathrooms, I go, I know that door now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's way less freaky.
Well, and you have a better idea of, like, what your audience might actually be like, so you can create some better actual improv.
It takes to get from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's like, okay, then you enter from here, and it's like, oh, I actually have to enter three lines early to get that far across the room. I can't just enter
it's
on
a big
the line.
Room. Yeah.
Like, yeah, so it's, things like that are nice to have now that we can, like, visualize having been there.
Mm-hmm.
So as well as the first one went, hopefully the second goes better.
Yeah. So. The on a slightly related note, because this is what I've been up to lately, is we're starting to do more regular rehearsals for my Fringe show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had rehearsal last night for like 3 hours, at least an hour, hour and a half of which was like the most uncomfortable theater I've done in my life. And I've done some weird shit, but because it was...
In theater or...?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
Yes. But no, we had, I'm the love interest of one of the main characters in this thing as kind of like the guy that comes back from her past and is sweet on her. And so we have a little bit of
you bring her muffins?
I don't. I bring her booze.
Okay.
Well, that's
way
better. See, that's actually acceptable shame.
It's a Prohibition era play, so that means a lot.
Well.
But, there's a little bit of a, like, kind of a will they, won't they thing. And then we have the scene where it turns out, yep, they will. And so then I have to like make out with this chick. Who I've met twice now.
Woohoo!
And an hour and a half of doing scenes and then kissing her and then scene, kiss her. And at like the fourth read through, because the final thing in the scene, as you'd imagine, is the big climactic kiss thing. And like the third time through it, we get to like that line where we're like, you know, 2 inches apart from each other and kind of staring at each other's eyes. And we say the final line and we kind of stare at each other for a second. And I kind of turn and look at the director and she goes, I mean, any one of these, if you feel like you're ready to kind of actually do it, you can. And I was like, okay. And just. Do it again, no kiss. Do it again. I'm just like, I just feel awful. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, but there's no way, like, at least for me, there's no way as a dude to not be like, I can't wait to rehearse the make it out scene. I can totally make out with you. Because, like, to me, it's like, we don't have, everyone knows a kiss. You don't have to really do that more than once or twice to make the show work. So, like, do I want to be like, yep, first chance I get, I'm going to fucking just, you know, slobber all over your mouth. And so, whatever. Like,
I would hope not.
Yeah, right. But the thing, but it was like, so I was like, I don't know if they even want it. Maybe we have to do that once. Once we get to like a full run through, then okay, now I actually do the kiss, so you know what it looks like. But you don't really need to do that in every rehearsal because that's unnecessary. Because technically it is, but it's also a smart thing to do so you know what it's gonna look like if you want it.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, too long or not long enough or. Make it look more passionate or make it look a little more chased,
you know,
or whatever.
Do we turn
professionalism.
To the left or the right?
Yeah.
Professionals.
And so, and it is. Huh. And so, but like, I'm not used to this. You know, I think we talked about this a month or two ago when we were doing rehearsals for Mystery Lodge, is I had to make out with Dawn for that. And it was just like, ah, fuck, this is weird. and like, but things I know Dawn, mm-hmm. so that was mm-hmm. weird for 8 seconds, and then it was fine. And then this is a woman that I'm not even sure I know her real name. And so,
okay, let's take a step back here and think about Matt, like, from 5 years ago. And how Matt of 5 years ago, or 10 years
Matt
ago.
Matt of 5 or 10 years ago didn't know his wife's real name.
So, yeah. Let's just take that back That's and go to where joke. We are now. So, and let's just talk about the evolution of Matt.
That's a terrifying idea.
Yeah, no.
He's still got the T-Rex arms.
He does. Yeah, he hasn't gotten wings yet. The bones haven't hollowed out. Yeah, it's,
I've got like that weird...
He tried to fly and just came away.
It's just pin feathers. There's no flight feathers.
No.
But,
I'm sorry, I believe Matt was intelligently designed. But,
no, all that to say... Like,
no. It was... No. Pause. I no longer believe in a god.
That's the argument?
Have you
we just figured it out.
The argument is, Jenna never wanted to agree with you. Jenna never wanted to think I'm intelligent. You found the nexus the Venn diagram.
No, Matt.
You found just
I'm
that.
Pretty
that
sure
sense.
From now on the argument against intelligent design is just a picture of you.
Famous on the internet.
He's here.
Oh, wait.
Yep, nope, yeah, definitely
nope,
evolution.
Nope, we're good.
Yep.
Platypus, I could handle this.
Yeah, that's true.
Platypus is just a fun joke.
Platypus is adorable.
Right? And deadly.
Awesome. Yep.
Little heel spurs.
Barbs.
Now I want some platypi.
No.
Want some pie?
Yes. Because
you can make some a pie called a platypi, which mm-hmm. now you have to do for Pie Day next year.
Yes.
This is
the platypi.
Yes. Okay, how are we making a platypi that's not actually involved with platypus?
Okay, no, this is good.
Oh, no,
this is a much better side.
Oh, no, it'll have a bill out of one end and a tail out of the other.
Or...
But that's just one platypi.
Yeah.
Or what
you
it
need
needs
two
to be...
Platypi.
But no, it's a platypi. That's the pun. Oh, my God.
No,
well, you
there
almost
has
need
to
do
more than one.
You almost need the
no. That's the
it's
joke.
One
we get the joke.
Yeah, but
we're
that's
telling not a good joke. We're telling
this
a bad joke. What you need to do is recreate the Venn diagram. Bill on one
that's,
side.
That's not on me.
No, I know. I'm saying if you recreate that, stick a bill on one side, the tail on the other, and have it one half savory pie, one half fruit pie. Because then it is two things that don't belong together, all created.
Oh my
one
god!
Monstrosity. That is
no.
Pie.
Yes.
It sounds like you're making a pie pillar.
Like a caterpillar?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Like a human centipillar?
Centipie? What?
Gross.
No. Yeah, I think I don't like this road.
No,
I like the platypie better.
We got,
no,
just,
no.
Pull up!
No.
A pie pillar is like the Venn diagram, but more. Okay. And more and more and more.
This also, can you say, I am a leaf upon the wind? Because that's where this is going.
You just want to stab me at the end.
Well,
always.
Yeah.
It's no longer a Venn diagram, it's just ellipses. It's just mini pies.
So anyway.
I just had the weirdest, most awkward rehearsal ever, but got through it. And I was like, I think I grew in as an actor because I managed to get through that and actually do it and remember my lines. And I don't think I creeped anybody out. So I feel
yay.
Like I think I did it.
Progress.
Yeah, you know, it's something.
Woo! So. We're so proud of you.
We'll see. Yeah.
Should we put a little star like on your little chore chart?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God, you guys! I haven't been here for 2 weeks, and I have so much to talk about.
I have nothing else.
Everybody, pull up a chair.
Yeah. All right.
Except that you never sit.
Our listeners, not. Oh my Jesus.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I don't remember if I talked about North Dakota. I think I did.
Like you ought to go to.
Yeah. No, I talked about North Dakota. So that happened. But then last week, the reason why I wasn't here is because I had just gotten back from camping on the North Shore,
mm-hmm.
and then it was like torrential downpour rain,
mm-hmm.
and one of the, I was camping with Jesse and two friends from out of town,
mm-hmm.
so they were supposed to fly back that night, only torrential downpouring rain of epic proportions, flight got delayed, mm-hmm. so I ended up staying at home with them, making them a bed so that they could catch a 5 a.m. flight the next day.
Unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what, like a 3 a.m. wake up?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, so I went camping on the North Shore. And where it was a Lamb's Resort. Highly recommend. It's just, it's a campground. It's not like, and they do have cabins. They
where,
have
whereabouts?
Cabins. It is in between Two Harbors and Grand Marais.
Okay.
Perfect.
Schroeder. Is where it is.
Oh, okay.
So, real close to sure. Castle Danger.
Yeah.
Castle Danger.
I know. I just love saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But they
it's
have...
also really good beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, well, except that their brewery moved into
Duluth. They moved to Duluth, yes, yeah. But it's still named after Castledania.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so they have a bunch of cabins that you can rent, and then they have a bunch of RV spots, and then they have a bunch of, like, tent spots. Every spot has a campfire pit and a picnic table.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they have lakeshore camp spots.
Ooh. So you're, like, private beachside.
Basically. Nice. It's, because where they have, so, like, part of their, like, the very end of their campground is, like, this rocky, pebbly beach, like, you get on the North Shore.
Right.
But then it kind of goes up into, like, the pseudo-cliff type stuff, where you get those giant rocks of, that are apparently only that specific type of rock formation is only specific to the North Shore.
Some kind of glacial throwback
thing. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Having to do with the iron and the glacial mix and, mm-hmm. and how everything
the type of rock
together.
And how it fissures. Yeah. Like that.
So anyway, I got camp spot number 50. And if you ever go to Lamb's Resort, get camp spot number 50.
Know this.
Because it is the farthest one out, so you're away
always
from the
good.
Most people.
Mm-hmm.
It is... so you kind of go down the cliff a little bit to your camp spot area, which is just big enough for like your tent, and you've got your fire and your picnic table thing and like a little bit more space. And then it's just the rocks and the beach.
Cool.
There's some trees like kind of all the way around,
so
but you got
like
this
privacy
little...
fencing by nature.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
It's fairly private. Like, you know, the next people are like 20 feet away, but they're a little further up.
But you don't notice.
And there's
and then
trees.
You go midnight skinny dipping.
Yep.
Not in Lake Superior.
Yeah, I was like,
fucking
Lake
not
Superior.
In June in Lake
no.
Superior.
That thing is only
late
moderately
August,
maybe.
If yeah. at all.
Maybe.
And
yeah.
really
and
be
only
prepared
if you,
for hypothermia.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. If you're really brave and have dry clothes very
or
close
dumb.
To you. Yeah.
No.
Or
like,
dumb.
I can picture Anna Levine doing that because she just gives no
fucks.
Yeah. She will jump in anything at any time. And you're just like, what? How are you not dead yet? Like, that's brackish.
I've done polar plunge. I'll do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
Too bad she couldn't do polar plunge with us.
Yeah, I gotta try to get on that next year. I thought I could do it this year, too.
Not me.
I'm so pissed.
Nope.
I feel like I'm a guy
it's an experience.
I will eat fire. I will play with swords. I will do all sorts of dangerous things. But hypothermia is just not one thing that I'll
The very first time I did it, it was because I just wanted to say I had that experience.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was like, this is actually kind of a fun experience.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like, in the moment, you're like, nope. And afterwards, you're like, that was kind
of... It's temporary. Yeah.
So, we were up there for a couple days.
That's the voice of reason you just heard.
Right? I was like, I should figure this away. Anyway,
Good counterpoint.
So much expressed with one pseudo word.
Yeah.
That's good.
An expression. It was definitely an expression.
Yes.
But, so we get up there, and pretty much just as soon as we get there, it starts raining a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a theme.
So, yeah, it was kind of this misty stuff, and then we went to set up the tent, and it became more rainy stuff. So we're setting up the tent in the rain. All of my clothes became, tent drying stuff, like everything that I was wearing.
Yeah.
So I dried off the inside of the tent while they got the rain fly up and like all of this stuff. It was
always for due.
It was fairly well coordinated for, you know, people that had never actually gone camping before. And I got everything mopped up and then I changed and
so this is like like four people in a tent or six
yep.
people or
yeah, but it's an 8-person cabin.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you always have to have you count a person. And then another person is just your stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's an 8-person cabin,
four people
fairly comfortably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or if you have kids, a 12-person tent becomes a 3-person tent.
Well,
isn't
yes.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
My parents took me camping early on, and like they had the tent days the first year or two I was at Fest, which is like probably, it's been a long time. I bet it was probably like a 10x10 base.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine that like my mom, my dad, and me. All the shit you bring for, like, a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I bet they were just barely managing to stuff everything.
Well, so, I mean, mine was, like, an 8x14
which is
cabin.
Nice. That's good size.
That's, that's a good size. Four adults can... two couples, actually, because you got the basically, like, 2-bed areas. Mm-hmm.
And that actually saves some space.
Yeah. Cuddle for warmth.
Because you actually don't need two full sleeping bag
exactly.
slots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then we also had the picnic table with all the other, like... I mean, the car was just, like, right up the hill. It was, like... 20 feet up, it was 5 feet from us, but 20 feet up from us.
So like, 25.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was 20 feet. It was just like, but I could look at it and be like, but it's right there.
Yeah.
Why is it getting closer? Why is it getting closer?
But we had plenty of stuff that wasn't in the tent too. So yeah. it was a good mix of being able to navigate the space. So as soon as we got the tent set up, the rain stopped.
Of course.
Because fuck you.
That's how tents work.
And yeah. And we did some hiking. We hung out, we did all of our food campfire.
Nice.
So we didn't grill anything, although I did have a grilled basket for over the campfire, so mm-hmm.
Those are nice to have.
But yeah, lots of tinfoil was used.
Cast iron?
We did not bring any cast iron. Nope.
Eh.
Mostly it was four people traveling in my vehicle.
Gotcha.
So it was, what is the least amount of stuff I can get away with and still be able to have
a decent campfire? Is it just on sticks, or did you just have like a...
Well, we had sticks, we had tinfoil, and then we had a grill basket.
That'll get you there. Yeah.
So, that's what I need. It was, I wanted the grill basket for steak, because goddamn if I don't like campfire steak.
I don't like campfire steak.
Oh, that's my God. So good.
It's pretty much the best.
Also, kebabs.
I mean, you talk about...
Yeah. Kebabs, yeah. No, campfire kebabs I've done. I'm not in steak, though. Yeah, the neighbors growing up, we used to, you know, when you're kids, like you do, you know, you camp out in your backyard or whatever. And my parents live on a couple acres, and so, well, everybody out in my parents' area lives on a couple acres. So you had room to get, you know, 200 yards away from the house to feel a little more like you were cool when you were a kid.
Yep. Sure.
But, you know, you'd make a fire pit.
On that note, because Matt is never cool, I'm going to go watch my children.
All right.
That's fair.
Thanks for stopping by.
Love you all. Bye. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that my neighbors had that I always found fascinating, that we only ever used when we camped out at the O'Toole's house, was they had what essentially was like a campfire hot pocket maker.
With the two arms,
and it would like chop off the ends of the red and seal it. And so you'd make like hot ham and cheese.
Yeah.
And you just shove it in the coals and whip it. And I was like, why does not everybody have one of these? Like, I want this for just like using when we have fires around Christmas. Like, just in the fireplace. Just like, funk.
You know what you do?
I would make that shit.
Make s'more sandwiches.
Which we never did. We only ever made dinner with that.
Oh,
and then
no.
We'd make s'mores. You take, mostly because you want to just hot marshmallows.
No, you take two pieces of bread, chocolate marshmallows.
Makes perfect sense.
S'more sandwich.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I bet. Oh, God, that sounds good.
Because you don't burn the marshmallow, but it's melted, but it's and the chocolate's
and
melted.
Yeah.
And it's in this little bread pocket as opposed to the two brittle crackers, which break and fall apart. It's in this little...
Yeah, the
self-contained
graham cracker
unit
is the most troubling part of the s'more.
Mm-hmm.
Although there is
the
something
flavor.
About
you can
the
put the graham cracker in the s'more sandwich.
Honestly,
but
here's what
the bread
you do.
Holds it together.
You can put the graham cracker in the bread sandwich, or you can just take a little bit of vanilla, which is what you're really getting
it's
out
true.
Of the graham cracker.
Yeah, vanilla and a little honey or something.
Yeah,
like that.
A couple drops of vanilla and honey, and you're.
But yeah, because that's the thing. I love s'mores, but they are a fucking monster to eat.
Yeah.
Because if you're
they're
really
messy
lucky,
and they drip everywhere,
yeah, like,
and the crackers break.
Like on a bad day, you take the first bite and the entire marshmallow shoots out the back because all you've done is just created like a billows for the marshmallow, and you're like, well, that sucks. Or you take a bite and the whole thing just crumbles into shrapnel and sadness.
Nope.
Yeah.
And you've got
some
hot marshmallow all over your lap.
S'more sandwich
like,
is the way to go.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
yep.
Smart.
Yes, it is.
I gotta see if I can find one of those because we know enough people that do campfires out at Fest. They're like, if we had one of those and brought out some s'more shit, we could sit around Dragon's Den or we could sit around.
Oh, yeah.
We might.
That could be really fun. Or even just around Fitz's fire or something, I'd be like, my treat, I'll bring all the shit.
Yeah.
Let's just sit around and talk shit and eat s'mores. Like, that would be really fun. Let's look into that.
Well, we have.
See if we can find them.
I'm buying.
When we got the kids.
Because that's a cheap, delicious treat.
When we have the kids, we got one of these tents that you can modify to attach to a hatchback.
Oh, those are neat. I've never had one, but I've seen them.
And I was kind of skeptical at first, but when we had the kids with us, that is super helpful.
Oh, I would
because
imagine.
That hatchback turns into an instant table for when you have to change the kids in the middle of the night or something like that.
Well, it's like you
and
guys
it's
borrowed
super
my
helpful
ones too. Yeah. Like, that, all it takes is like those two bits of home that make everything easier than just
absolutely.
A tent.
Yeah,
because all you, like, it's one of those things where like in a tent, I find myself at some point casting about, going, I just want to be able to set a thing at waist height.
Yeah,
that's all I want, and I won't go insane. It doesn't seem like so much, and yet it's impossible in the average tent unless you bring like a folding table.
Whereas this hatchback engulfing tent, it's a regular tent, and then you just back up your car to it and you open the hatch, and so you can
even close the door if you want to and just have the tent. But it's really nice to be able to open that up and throw your bags in there or change the baby or, you know,
exactly. So it's whatever you don't need at that moment is out of the way. So you have floor space.
And that has made it so much easier for when we have the kids.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Because we're still kind of having that experience, but we're still able to have those comforts.
Yeah. Well, that's... I don't know that I'm going to go just straight up camping again. Like, I like camping at Fest because of just the camaraderie you get from being out there and hanging out with people at night. But, like, I don't know that I want to be like...
But Fest camping is not regular camping.
It's not, but I mean, that's the closest I think I'm going to get. Because they did, like...
Because Fest camping, you live out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know that I want to go to, like, the Black Hills or, like, you know, North Shore or something and just camp for a weekend just to be in a tent. Like,
I love it.
That doesn't... We've talked about this before, I think, but it's just something about that. Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on your company.
Sure.
Because if you have the right company, it ends up being like Glory or like Fest, where you're just hanging out with people, and it happens to also be in a tent.
Yeah, we
I just don't know cool enough people.
That's true.
Oh, that's so true.
We go with...
Yeah. I blame Salsa.
Yeah, probably.
Salsa's not a cool enough person to camping with.
No, it's absolutely true. We go with my wife's sister and her husband.
Sure. Yep.
And the four of us...
folks. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and the four of us...
It'd be harder to get
people to go camping with would we head up there, include Mr.
We stop. Yeah. We stop at Duluth, and we fill all our growlers.
Right.
Yep.
And then we head up north, and we have the hookah.
Yep.
And we have, you know, books and board games and all that other stuff like that. And that's a fucking good time.
Yep.
You know, and then we do a little hiking and we, you know, maybe go swimming in a stream or something like that. And that's a...
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I can see that. I can see, like...
It is more of a group activity.
No, I can picture, like, you know, like if Megan and I went out somewhere with, like, Anna and Drew.
Yeah.
Like, because we're folks that if we just sit around, we will talk until the sun comes up, because you don't really even notice. Like, you need that kind of company.
Absolutely.
Like, someone that you're just like, doesn't matter what we're doing, we'll have fun. Well, we might as well do this then.
Yeah.
Because it's cheap. And that's the other nice thing about camping, is it's relatively inexpensive compared to almost anything else you could be doing.
But you get to try weird things, like s'more sandwiches.
Oh, god damn, I'm so obsessed with that.
Honestly, a part of the draw for me for camping, I mean, aside from... I love Lake Superior. I love being on the shore. I mean, going to sleep with the lake sounds was fucking amazing.
I bet that would be nice. I think I'd like that.
Oh, my God.
That is brilliant. My wife and I...
The first night was kind of like the super light rain type stuff.
I love
stuff.
Rain on the tent.
That's so rain on the
rain
tent
on
plus the shore.
The crashing, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. I tried to record it and my phone wouldn't
I think I mentioned...
It never sounds the same, though.
Right,
like, you've got to have it like that 360...
I think I've mentioned this before, but when my wife and I got married, we spent our honeymoon on the North Shore.
Right.
Because a friend of mine had his honeymoon on the North Shore, and he was like, turn on the fireplace and open your window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because then you got
I
the fire.
My honeymoon on the North Shore.
Yeah, it's a fucking great place to be.
It really is. But the other thing about camping is that, and one of the things that I love about it is it provides opportunity to practice your problem solving, resource management skills.
Because there's always something you forget.
Like campfire cooking, there's always a certain
There's an element of improv in that, no matter what.
Right?
Yeah. Or you leave the tin foil for the hookah.
Yeah, or just like, is this done yet? Like, so this kind of bland. What do we got? I don't know.
there is something to camping about putting yourself in a different set of, a different environment.
It's that scene
with
from,
different rules and expectations and trying to figure out how to make it go.
Is it Apollo 13? Is that the Tom Hanks movie?
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the air filters are breaking and they dump that stuff and they're like, this is what they have. You have to make this. And when you're camping, you have a closed system of here's what you have to work with. Now make dinner better or the rain not in the tent or the whatever. Like, it is it is definitely, like, it's a weird little puzzle.
I love those things. The progressive puzzle stuff.
Yeah.
This is going to anger me.
Achievement unlocked.
This is going to anger me because I don't remember the name of the river, but there's a little river / stream up on the North Shore that we went to a few years ago.
Okay.
And there's this little waterfall on it.
With a gnome.
That's about five of the rivers.
Right. But this one was super fun because it's got a little cavity behind it and it's really, really deep.
Neat.
And the water, it's a pretty heavy flow. It's not like one of these trickling ones. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's got a lot of water coming out. So what you do is you get behind the waterfall, and then you leap forward into the falls and try to leap through it, but the water hits you and just drives you underwater.
Oh, that's fun.
And, oh, my God.
It was so much fun. I like that idea. It was so much fun. Because you're just like, how far out of the waterfall can I get before it shoves me underwater?
Oh, that sounds really cool.
I don't like having my head underwater, so that sounds horrifying. Oh. But in an abstract sense, that's
The entire pool at the bottom, under the fall, is like 5-6 foot diameter. It's a tiny little pool, but it's really deep.
That's neat.
Yeah. So you just kind of go there and you just sit in the water and you're like, this is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
This tiny little hot tub sized pool in the waterfall and the nature and everything. It's so wonderful. And I'm angry that I don't remember what it was because I want to go back now.
Dear listeners, whenever you do hear this, a couple things. One, send us your camping MacGyver stories.
Oh my God,
things
yes.
you fixed while on the fly, while camping, if you've got
fantastic.
Some. Send us your camping recipes. I want to know if you've got crazy shit you like cooking over a campfire.
Oh my God, yes.
Like s'more sandwiches?
We are hurtling towards Fest, and stuff that can be cooked over fire is not only interesting, but useful. And then, where's your favorite places you've been camping? I'd like to hear that too. I've done some stuff. You guys have done some stuff, but like, I bet there's weird little gems out there that we wouldn't think of, or especially the ones that are always really interesting to me is like, it's not like, I can go, Yellowstone's fucking cool. Everybody knows Yellowstone's cool to camp. Mm-hmm. But if it's like, go anywhere that has X, you know what I mean? The kind of thing that you can find in like any region.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. But if you do it right, because you go to a place that is, near a lake where you've got the shore nearby, that's a good one. Cause like, you can find that somewhere around most places.
Yep.
So, like, things like that are always kind of cool. But, yeah, like, tell us where you were in camping you thought was cool.
So, and let me add a couple more things to my camping story.
Sure.
Number one, as far as campfire cooking, we had yams.
Oh, nice.
You wrap them up like you would for a baked potato, and you throw them in the embers at the end of the night, and you wake up and there's yams.
Mm.
I like that idea.
Yeah. It's a great, because then you don't need to make breakfast. It's already just right there.
And also, on some islands, you can buy a wife.
I have no idea what... Anyway.
Story of our lives.
But
yams
so like,
are used as currency in some...
Sure.
Never mind.
So I woke up to breakfast. Like, I woke up to these yams, and I melted a marshmallow so that I could just kind of smear that on it.
On a yam? Yes.
Right.
Okay. Add that one to the list.
Making some fucking Thanksgiving on the fly.
Hell yeah.
Brown sugar in that shit.
Yeah. And we also brought brown sugar. We purchased it on our way in because we were like, "This is happening." I know. But
that's not considered MacGyvering, by the way.
That part isn't MacGyvering. No. Realizing I had marshmallows that I could put on the yam.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then the other thing that was absolutely delightful for my morning. I brought my True Stone cold brew.
Nice.
Because I was sitting there, like, trying to figure out, like, I'm going to have to get, like, a coffee percolator or something to be able to have coffee in the morning. Wait a minute.
Or.
I have these cold brews. Just.
I can't tell you how often True Stone cold brew comes up in my life now. Have you guys had this phenomenon? I guess we might as well do the plug right now. This is seriously fucking true.
I was telling somebody about this on the internet just a couple days ago.
It was last night. We recorded a horror show hot dog, and Josh is on vacation in California with his family. So Megan sat in as our third chair.
Oh, sure.
And,
poor girl.
I was, at the end of the show, we'll often be like, hey, if we have something coming up. It's like, we do have Convergence coming up. So if you're local and you'd like to say hi, it's always cool. I would make sure at least one day of convention I wear a horse or hot dog t-shirt so that you can find me easily. Come and say hi. That's always neat. And I was like, the easiest place to find me otherwise is you can go to the Vilification Tennis, you can go to the Masquerade Halftime Show, or the Fearless Party Room, which is open, at night to get drinks. And this year, we'll be open in the morning and the early afternoon to get coffee so that we can, give you a hangover and cure it. And the first thing out of Megan's mouth is, are they going to have the cold press? I was like, everyone. I told them that we have True Stone doing coffee in the room, the first question out of their mouth is not how long or how much, or it's, will they have the cold press?
Here's the deal, you guys. So they're going to have, I think they're going to have a Peru and they're going to have an Ethiopian.
The Ethiopian's so
for
good.
For the warm.
That's the bag I'm working through right now.
That's what they're going to have for the hot stuff. They're also going to have their cold press nitrous.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So, yeah. That'll be fucking astounding.
So yeah. No, they're going to have cold press.
So picture how good Guinness is
fucking
on tap,
then
but
some,
cold press.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. They're not just bringing cold press. They're bringing the whole fucking thing.
Oh, my
thing.
God. Yeah, so if you've listened before, you know TrueStone as a sponsor of the podcast for some time. But if you haven't, they are local folks that make amazing coffee. And if you would like to try their wares, as well you should. Well, one, you can go to Convergence if you're going to be at Con. Swing by the Fearless party room in the morning. Get yourself some TrueStone. And once you decide you love it, as you will, you can go to TrueStoneCoffee.com and use the promo code APROPOS. And get 10% off your order. And they'll send some delicious beans straight to your house. They'll even have our cute little name on it. As we were talking about, I think at High Five and some other things where we've been getting together talking to other folks that work with TrueStone, I don't even have a bean recommendation. Just get whatever you like. It will be good. I've had like five different kinds. I've liked all of them.
I love the cold press.
Yeah, the cold press is amazing. But as far as the brewed coffee, like whatever kind of bean, order medium, dark, light, whatever you like, but it won't honestly matter. You will like it.
And here's the thing, for the snobs out there, they roast to the bean.
Yes.
They don't just have a dark roast to have a dark roast. If a bean itself can be enhanced by a darker roast, they will do that. I don't generally like dark roast.
They're not going to scorch some shit that's not going to be good.
Yeah, I don't generally like dark roast, but I've had some of their dark roast stuff.
But if the bean calls for it.
Oh, I see why they're doing this.
And that's the thing. In a lot of places, you're just getting something that shouldn't have been roasted that long.
The cheapest bean they could find.
Yeah. Like Starbucks does that. It's often just bitter for the sake of bitter because they're like, oh, people like dark roasts. It's like, or you could have made this.
It's kind of like making a hoppy
better.
Beer just for the sake of hops.
Yeah. But they didn't do that. So, definitely check out TrueStone. Some of our good friends at this point, I think we can say. Because they've certainly kept me up and running when things could have.
So, on this camping trip, so I had these the cold press bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up in the morning just kind of like warming the bottle itself.
Mm-hmm.
Over the Embry fire stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'd build the fire back up just a little bit so that I could get the flame lick. But, yeah. Just by turning the bottle and churning it, I actually got fairly warm coffee first thing in the morning. And that was fantastic.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Tread lightly, because you could break a bottle in that.
Yeah, no, you got to be careful. Although, their cold brews do come in a thicker glass.
Yeah.
So that's somewhat helpful.
Yeah. But for pure legal reasons, be careful with that glass heating up thing.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to cover before we take a break?
I have about five other things to discuss, but we could take a break and come back to that if you would like.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in just a second.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going to just kind of continue bullshitting because it feels good. It's been a little bit. And fuck it. We don't know. Okay. We can't do anything timely because we don't know when this will come out exactly to you guys. So let's just chat. What's up?
So the other thing that... So I got back from camping. And it was the torrential rain. Like, we got the super rain that night. And I had four people that needed showers and clothing to be washed and a bunch of other stuff.
Yard party.
My basement flooded.
Oh.
As in, the sewage backed up.
Oh.
Yep.
So, no swimming party.
No.
You have a carpeted basement, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what's being torn out of my basement tomorrow?
Everything.
Well, and
so... Did you take the drywall out and shit?
I don't think it got to that point.
Okay.
Number one, we have more plaster than drywall down there.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it was all... It's not like it was... standing water or anything
that.
It was basically things just the carpet went
okay, because it's like, so, if you get like 4 inches of standing water, you're
we never got to, that's good, I think we had like 1 inch in the boiler room area where there isn't any
cement,
carpet,
right?
I think we lucked out on that point, but so we had like all of the rain, all of the water usage. And then, like, there were some roots. There were some other items that had been flushed that should not have been flushed. Including, like, some kind of wipe of some sort.
Oh, yeah, those, that's a thing that I feel like is becoming more and more common, because I feel like that's, like, one of those things you read in magazines or in online articles, like, you want to luxuriously treat your ass, use the baby wipes, and it's like, and destroy your plumbing. Like, that, I feel like a lot of these, people forget that, like, an online article is written by some jackass like us.
Well, I think what happened is somebody has been learning how to, you know, clean various items. And, you know, I'm like, you can flush a paper towel or two. You can't flush a lot of them.
Yeah, because even paper towels, you wouldn't think of it. But they, but, yeah, they'll flush it up.
And there were disinfectant wipes. That, and I think the same mental process went into that.
Yep.
But it's not the same thing. So,
yeah.
Because those wipes are meant to hold together.
Exactly, that's the thing. It's like, until you have to worry about this kind of shit, you don't learn those lessons.
Yeah.
Because until someone goes, okay, so here's the deal. Here's how your garbage disposal works. You don't know what you can and can't shove down your drain. Because why would you care?
And the first thing I'm doing is trying everything.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I'm a horrible exactly. And then
science,
like,
bitches.
Yeah, but it's, you know, until you're the person that would be responsible for fixing it, you don't pay attention for exactly how it works.
Yep.
Because that's just not the way.
So anyway, hard lessons have been learned.
There you go.
Plus, but there was also the torrential downpours and
that
the
doesn't help.
And
yeah.
Everything else.
Yeah. It might have happened eventually, but that certainly pushed it up a bit.
Yeah. It was definitely a conglomeration of circumstance. So yeah, the entire downstairs is just sleeping in the living room right now.
Fun.
Cause
camping out inside.
Right. On the plus side, our couch is super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to pass out on a couch, that's really the one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've just got, like, I had just gotten, like, I was down to about 5 more boxes in the guest room storage-y, crafty area.
Mm.
I was like, I can get through these 5 boxes, and then we'll have this clear room, and it'll be fantastic. Nope. Now it's full of stuff from the basement.
Sure.
All of the salvageables are in the guest room and in the dining room, all of Jess's room, because Jess's room was in the basement.
Yeah, best laid plans.
So, yeah, there's just stuff piled all over, and we just don't go downstairs unless we need to shower, in which case we wear boots down to the bathroom, take the boots off at the door going, because we bleached that out and everything.
Sure.
So, you know.
That's all fine.
But you gotta shower, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the basement's being used for right now. And then people will be coming by tomorrow to tear that up. So,
fun.
That's been very exciting.
Yeah.
I also did a show over the weekend.
Oh?
Yeah. A Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe show.
I know that guy. Pablo!
So we did a show about a golden age, full of Amazonian women and origin stories of that type. Philip took a bunch of Wonder Woman comics and kind of like some of the first stuff and put together a full story using just the comics on her origin, because there's, you know, you've got like this first origin, you know, Wonder Woman number one over here, but then there you get like later on you'll get bits
you get
and pieces.
Reboots and whatever, and
not even reboots so much as like bits and pieces that are further down the line. Oh, I remember this time, like, and that just kind of all fit in to the origin story. So he did not add anything.
Mm.
All of the text from that was stuff from the comic books, but I got to do that at the Phoenix, and other people I did that with include Don Krasnowski, Jen Scott, Joshua Scrimshaw, and Kelvin Hatley.
Yeah, it was quite the murderer's row.
It was. I was like, I'm performing with these guys. That's awesome. Also, Joshua Scrimshaw does an amazing Troy McClure.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, because he read for Steve Trevor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm Captain Trevor. Like, you know, and you're just like, whoa. Well, yeah, you are.
Nice.
Like, I'm looking at you, and but the voice in my head has a really kind of Troy McClure-y type thing going on. And, of course, Don and Jen and Calvin were absolutely amazing for their parts, too. So, yeah, I was really excited. It was the 6 of us, and we performed for an audience of 4. One of them was my dad, so that was kind of neat. I'm like, oh, Dad, you showed up. He's like, well, it's a free show. I'm like, sweet, thanks.
Yeah.
What?
You're making me feel loved over here.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the how theater goes.
Well, right? Yeah.
You know.
However, if you missed it, we will be doing it again at Convergence.
Oh, awesome.
So, I think it's 3:30 on Friday at Atrium 6.
Cool. I think I can do that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I think so. It's like in between all of the party room stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Because those things, I have to leave Thursday night for a rehearsal.
Oh, lame.
And then I can come back and I've got the rest of the weekend open.
Mm-hmm.
Rehearsal in Wayzata, which I'm not thrilled about.
Oof.
So, meh. Which, like, from my place is 20 minutes. From Con is probably 40, which sucks. But, But other than that, then I think we're off until, like, the 8th. So it's like, okay.
Oh, there you go.
That's not the end of the world.
No, I love working with the people that I'm working with for Fringe, because we're like, so no rehearsal during Con, right? Yep.
Yep.
All right.
And that's essentially what it's just like, look, there's a big holiday week and everybody's got stuff. Let's just...
Yeah.
We were going to have one on, like, the Tuesday or something like that after the weekend, and she was just like, you know what? We have one and then a break of 5 days or something. Let's just, fuck it. Just let's take the days, work on your lines, let's come back, soft book.
Yeah.
It's like, perfect. That's a perfectly reasonable idea.
Did she use the term soft book?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
So.
I've decided that I coined that term about 5 years ago, and I keep looking for soft book to pop up in places.
I don't know that I believe that you coined that term.
Nobody else that I've worked with has heard of that term, so okay. I just keep looking for it.
I don't know that... I don't know. I'd have to see if there's any overlap between people that I'm working with that
right?
work with you. Or is it just part of the zeitgeist now? Who knows?
Well, I mean, it's also possible, like, a parallel evolution.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, that's just a thing.
Oh, God.
I'm not that brilliant.
If only there was a net of information.
which I have been furiously using to discover that it is the Amnicon Falls, and it is on the Wisconsin side.
Oh, well, fuck that, then.
Just a little past... Go from Duluth, cross the river to Superior, and then a little further away, there's Amnicon Falls.
Nope. You never go to Superior.
Fucking beautiful.
Only on Sundays when you need booze.
I love going to Superior because they are so stuck up about everything.
Oh, God.
This is the Superior Library. This is the Superior Drugstore.
Yeah. Local jokes get you local work.
Which is funny because for as stuck up as they are about all of that stuff, they're so slummy compared to Duluth. It really is just like...
Put you on blast, Wisconsin.
Theater tickets are $2 cheaper across the border. Let's go. fucking what?
Nice.
Anyway, and then... Oh, that was the other thing that I did that was right before this is I went to DuNord. We like DuNord.
We do.
They also have an improv night.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
A couple of their bartenders do improv.
Ah, okay. That
and
makes sense.
So, yeah, they've got a couple of the guys from, like, Bearded Men are involved with some other
groups.
Which
are very talented folks.
Oh, you know, my God, right? I feel like the movie Cocktail would have been way better if they did improv instead.
Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got to have myself a DuNord drink and watch some improv before I got the message that you guys were on your way back. So
nice.
It was like, fuck yeah.
Where do they perform exactly?
So there's the, basically like the garage door,
mm-hmm.
Up against that. They shove the giant table off to the side a little bit.
That makes sense.
They enter and exit from the distillery, which is
nice.
Just fun.
That's funny, yeah.
Right? It's like...
Nice. So is it like they have like 2-3 groups or something like that, and they all have a set?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Like, I left partway during the second group, which, and whatever. I don't like leaving during the middle of something
No, I always
like
feel
that,
bad, but it's like the realities of life are like... You know.
Well, I mean, if it was something like a theater, I'd feel worse, but it's a bar.
People didn't come necessarily to see that. They came to get a drink and then go on their own timeline. So,
yeah.
Like, that's just... And if you're performing in a location like that, you also expect that.
Exactly.
If you're doing stand-up at a pub, they didn't necessarily come there to see you.
Well, Tyler's the bartender that was both hosting this and, you know, had encouraged me to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh my God, you made it. What about your podcast? And I'm like, well, it's got a late start. So I thought I'd, you know, come see as much as I could. So, I mean, the reason he knew that I was going to have to leave. And that
Do I know
was
Tyler?
Just, I don't think so. He started a couple months back in the cocktail room, so...
Okay. I'll be curious. So is it every Tuesday or once a month? Or what
I think it's once a month.
Cool. That's about the amount you'd probably want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
That's neat. No, that'd be fun for us to go catch sometime, and then we could record after, maybe.
Right?
That'd be
cool. Hell yeah.
We'll do an on-site
That'd be fun
thing.
To...
Ooh.
Yeah, it'd be fun to talk to those guys again.
Yeah.
Yes. I really loved those.
Yeah. They were super kind, super funny, and super good drinks.
I still have the hoodie, too.
They do it right.
I just got some glasses from them, too. Nice. So.
My wife and I almost went to Dunord like a week ago. But then our babysitter was like, nope, I have to be out of here at like 10. So we're like, we don't have enough time to get food and booze. So,
yeah.
So you got foos. Where the hell is foos? Your priorities?
Yes, we got foos.
I got this foos, y'all.
Ball.
Anything else, issues of the day we need to discuss before we move on?
Yeah, I think I hit all of my highlights and lowlights.
So the guy who played Chekhov in the new movies died.
Yeah.
Yeah. We mentioned that on Horror Show yesterday, which, because it's Horror Show Hot Dog, he's also one of the leads.
He's in Green Room.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And is fantastic. And he's good as Chekhov. He doesn't have much to do in those movies, though. No. But holy shit, that dude is really, really good in the stuff he's in. And if you haven't seen Green Room... be warned, it is not for the faint of heart. That is a really brutal movie, but it is a very good movie.
It's also got Patrick Stewart in it.
Yeah, it does.
Two Star Trek links. Yeah. What?
Patrick Stewart as one of the most stone cold villains I've seen in a long time.
Patrick Stewart is a white supremacist.
Yeah. Oh god. But he's the kind of evil that never has to yell.
Yeah.
And that's creepy.
Like,
that's
my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's
just menacing.
Yeah, that movie is just astounding. We fucking loved it. But yeah, no, it's a drag, because like that's the dude who like, and I think I mentioned this last night when we were talking about the horror show, like he, I think, was like this, the Green Room could have been like his faculty, where you make the horror movie that's actually pretty good, and you've made this blockbuster as a small role, and then you get something and you become Elijah Wood, or you become, you know, one of those folks who just needs that, like, that one next lead, and then you're someone that we'd all know for the next 40 years.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
And you know, it's whoever, you never know, like blah blah blah, the future, but like, dude is fucking talented.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's just a really sad, unfortunate kind of accident
that
is a drag. So, like, that's a drag. You know, whenever it's not some wildly irresponsible bullshit, like, oh, I'm a young star and I'm partying and I fucked up.
Yep.
Like, this just sounds like it's just sad. And that's awful. I feel really bad.
I also feel really bad for the poor sod who's going to have to take his spot.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Got it.
Like...
yeah, seriously.
You know, and not even in a flippant way, but, like, there is no way to, like, step into a role like that and not have people be like... oh, well, they only got him because... and it's like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, and that for that actor, like, oh, biggest break of my life. And no one gives a shit.
Nope.
Like, that's... no one wins in that situation.
Because 40 years from now at trivia night somewhere, they're going to be like, the only reason he got the role is because...
yeah. So, no, that's a drag. I saw that and was like, what the fuck? And, yeah, like, looked into it a bit. And it's a bummer.
Yep.
That's too bad. Let's see.
It's kind of sad, like, when you see a headline like that, though, about, you know, like, a young actor or something. You're like... well, was he on drugs? Was he drinking? Was he blah, 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 blah? Nope. Yeah. Just an accident.
And, you know, and quite honestly, like, the better part of our nature should say it's sad even if it is one of those things.
Yeah.
And it
well,
is.
Well, I think that
But the first thing you look for is a way to buffer your emotions from it.
Yeah.
And if you can go, well, it's their fault, too.
Yeah, we consistently look for an explanation.
Yeah.
And so, we want an explanation.
What we do as humans. Yeah, it just makes it easier than feeling all the grief. But
so that's our homage right there, our moment of silence. Except we don't do silence, we do noise. So.
Yeah, Charlie,
that's our moment of noise.
Yeah.
A moment of sipping drinks, please.
A moment of sipping, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Toast.
Yeah, Charlie got to meet him and hang out with him a few times doing press stuff and just hanging at a bar in Austin. And he's like, you would not meet a nicer, sweeter guy that was more down to earth. So, like, that's a drag. So, you know, to folks that might have known him that, you know, sorry. On that slightly somber note, we'll take a quick break.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Bring in the room nails.
No, that's all right. We'll do a little break for a palate cleanser, and we'll come back with the outro.
What?
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 The outro?
Oh.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And we are doing the outro. We don't have a spam count of the week because we don't have a goddamn website.
Dear listeners, I would just like to state for the record that I have no control over Matt. Matt is his own entity, and I hate him.
God. I second that, really.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Go ahead. Anyway. Explain the Fast Five.
Okay, so we're going to do a Fast Five. Come on, assholes. Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Oh, you're the worst. So...
No, give the backstory.
Yeah. I did the thing. Okay, so there's... I think I've mentioned it before. I listened to a podcast called Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, and you should too. But Matt Donnelly, improviser out in Vegas, guy that actually comes here, I think he's going to be here for the Twin Cities Improv Festival, a phenomenal improviser, talked about a thing that he's working on doing, which is apparently how Penn and Teller do business. He's not perfectly good at it yet, but he's working on it. It's called just the one-touch system. If you get a text, an email, or a phone call, whatever, if you see it, you respond somehow. That way, when you're, no matter, you never have a backlog of shit to do. And so the idea is that you have a completely empty inbox. You have every text is answered, every phone call is returned. Even if what you have to do is go, I don't have time to respond to this right now, call me back Thursday at 3, because I don't have time. Or send me some more information in an email, or whatever it might be. But that way, like, you're never going, okay, well, tomorrow afternoon, I'll have time to get back to all the things I haven't done for the last 4 days. And so the idea is, like, if you stay on top of everything, even if all you're doing is kind of kicking the can farther down the road, you actually find you're staying on top of your shit better. I was like, okay, that's a good impetus for me to at least go through my inbox, which is about 6,000 emails of shit. And actually, to be fair, that's not 6,000 emails, it's 6,000 threads because of how Gmail does it.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and it took me a couple hours this last weekend, and I got it down to 7, which are all very recent, and things that I kind of want to keep the thread so I can remember to poke people if they don't respond. But in doing that, I found a lot of old Fast Fives that at some point, back when we were getting tons of these, because they come and go in waves.
Yep.
Sometimes we get a fuck ton, sometimes you go a long while without getting any. And depending upon how much other email, like around Con or around Die Laughing... or RenFest and stuff like that, I get so many emails per day that something is very easily pushed off the
Absolutely,
first page
yeah.
of my thing. And so, you know, through no intention, stuff will just kind of get a couple pages back and then I don't see it. And you've heard me, I think, before say I was kind of scrambling around looking for a Fast Five and I'm clicking back a few pages trying to find stuff. Well, it turns out if you go through all my email with a fine-tooth comb, you have 132 emails with Fast Fives. So, for instance, the one we're going to do today... is from April 1st, 2012. Sent in by Saint Man of the Destroyer.
And she hasn't killed you yet?
Actually, no. At this point, she is Man of the Destroyer. I don't think there's a saint yet.
Based on
the way she signed the email. So, and again, these are all things that showed up as unread. It's entirely possible that, like, I clicked on them and looked at them or opened them in a new tab or something. So, like, we may end up, as I go through some of these old ones, hitting something we've done before. The odds of us and or you guys remembering that, slim. So I'm not really going to worry about it. So, April 1st, 2012, from Saint Man of the Destroyer. And if you're a new listener or, you know, or not sure how this works, the way this goes is we get a series of 5 questions, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices. We give our pick. And then we get the context afterwards and find out if we were correct in what we were thinking or if we regret our decisions. Question 1, crude or clever?
Clever.
Clever.
I think I have to go clever.
Yeah.
I do crude so frequently that I appreciate clever more, I think, assuming comedy.
Even when I'm doing crude, I try to have a clever spin.
That, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to do crude, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like crude for crude's sake. Unless it's a good fart joke.
I do like a good fart joke.
Right? But I think that's pretty much it. I still prefer a clever dick joke. A fart joke, clever, is just awkward.
Clever dick is an English dessert.
Dick joke.
Yeah, it's a spotted dick.
Spotted dick.
Yeah.
Dick joke?
Yeah.
Dick.
Dick, 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 dick.
Dick, dick.
Dick, dick.
Dick, 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 dick,
dick,
dick, dick, dick, dick, dick, dick.
That's British dick.
Question 2, Raphael or Michelangelo?
If you're going turtle, Raphael.
Michelangelo is a party dude.
Yeah, I mean, Raphael is cool, but crude.
Rude.
Is it rude?
If you're going turtles, Raphael. If you're going Renaissance artist? Michelangelo.
It's Michelangelo. Michelangelo.
I don't know what the difference between the Renaissance folks are, so I'm just going to have to base mine totally on Ninja Turtles.
Well, they're all the same.
So kind of what I'm getting at, yeah.
What?
No.
I mean, I've seen examples of... No,
he's not.
I literally have seen examples of both, but I could not tell you who's done what. It just...
Yeah. You know. Raphael plays a lot more with light. Michelangelo plays a lot more with symbolism.
Michelangelo preferred sculpture.
Yeah.
Okay.
He only painted because people made him.
Yep. You're going to give me how much for that chapel? Fuck off.
Oh, in that case, Michelangelo, because that sounds like a guy I can identify with. Yeah, I know how to do that, if you're going to pay me that much. Fuck yeah.
He painted so he could have enough money to sculpt.
I like that. Yep. I like that. That's good. I make sandwiches so I can do art. That's good.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Question 3, slather or peel? Those seem like opposite things.
Unless you're talking about...
Sunburn.
Like sunburns, yeah.
You're going to slather on sunscreen or are you going to peel? Peel.
I'm going to peel. Although, I'll point out, I'm proud of myself, man. I put on sunscreen this year so far, and I'm getting slightly tan as much as I do, and I've not burned yet.
I do one bake, and then I'm tan.
I usually do that, but that one bake, I'm getting sick of. So.
But the thing is I don't actually peel.
Oh, I've gotten full-on blisters and awful.
I don't. Yeah. I haven't. I usually go from lobster red and wake up in the morning brown and good to go.
Yeah, I don't peel much at all.
Yeah.
I don't
However, recently...
That's just because you're dead inside.
Well, yes. Yeah,
but you got a laser peel, so...
I did get the laser peel. I had to get the laser peel.
So would you slather on cream or get the laser peel?
Honestly, I'm going to go slather. Because having done the laser peel, I don't feel it did as much for me as I was hoping it would.
Mm.
And I think slathering on more of the medicated lotions and things like that has been better for my face overall.
Prevention versus pound of cure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also, I got this new makeup that is actually, like, also sunscreen. Like, it's a new a foundation.
It has an SPF?
SPF of, like, 35 or something.
Which is about as much as you can get.
Right? SPF 35, and it's got, like, I don't know, like, face, like, pore tightening shit and all that other whatever.
But is it flammable?
Stuff. No.
Good.
Question 4, Hot Topic, or is it Yonan Vasquez?
Yonan Vasquez, yes.
Okay.
I have no idea. Hot Topic, I guess.
Yonan Vasquez.
I would say Yonan Vasquez is the more insufferable one.
Oh, but Invader Zim
is not interesting to me, and Johnny the Homicidal Maniac is the worst thing ever.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's awful.
Really?
It's the worst.
Why?
Because it's dumb as fuck.
Oh, you just don't get art.
I think 14-year-old me would have loved it.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. I fucking hated it.
So he repeats himself.
Yeah. It's the worst thing ever. Sulz enjoyed it. That tells everything you know. Yeah.
Invader Zim makes me happy inside.
Okay. I do like Invader Zim.
Hot Topic, I just like, ugh.
Hot Topic was good for a time for me in my life because it had t-shirts of bands I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And it had CDs of bands I liked that I could
Hot
not
Topic
find in average record stores.
Was
Best Buy didn't have minor
it was
Hot
No,
Topic
that's
did.
The thing is, it was a means to an end.
Yeah.
But it was a means.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was never like... It was always a little douchey.
I tolerated it because I needed it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah. No, it's like going to the hardware store. Like, I'm not comfortable with all that.
Oh, I love that.
But if I need X, Y, or Z...
I will spend hours and hours.
But, I mean, I don't fit in with the clientele.
No, absolutely.
So, you know. And finally, cheese or veggies?
Cheese.
God damn it.
I love cheese. I'm more likely to eat veggies so I don't die.
Oh, I will eat cheese. I will eat cheese, and even if I die, I will be happy because I ate cheese.
I'm gonna go veggies in the context of when I make a sandwich at work, I put a lot more veggies in my sandwich than I do cheese.
Cheese.
I think
I can
with
do that
yeah.
without dying.
Still putting
right,
on the
veggies.
Cheese.
I do like cheese. I always put cheese on it despite the fact that it gives me fucking gut rot, but veggies. Geez.
If the question is which one could you eat forever without having any repercussions, cheese.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fucking, I would take cheese.
If I could eat unlimited cheese with no repercussions, that would be what I'd have at every meal.
Yeah,
I'd
basically.
Eat cheese crackers and meat.
I will and have taken a block of cheese out of the fridge and just eaten it.
Oh, no, I've done that. I can't eat more.
Because it's amazing and you can. Yeah,
I will just die.
I have some Dubliner in the fridge upstairs right now.
All right, let's see what we learned here, guys. Question 1, crude or clever? Your preferred vil insult format?
Clever.
Clever.
Clever, yeah. I think. Full disclosure, I am a crude guy.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely what I do. That is what I'm known for. I have one or two jokes I consider kind of clever, but
I am much better at writing something that grosses people out, which is a weakness in my performance. However, it's what I do. So, I admire the clever folks. I strive to be that. I'm not good at it. So, yeah, I gotta say clever is the better way to go.
Gross is just... With clever, people are gonna laugh. With crude... Some people will laugh and some people will...
Oh, the best ones are both, though. Yeah.
No, you can do absolutely really gross, but it is the clever is what carries it.
It is.
Because the clever has to elevate the crude. The crude doesn't ever elevate clever, I don't think, really. Question two, Raphael or Michelangelo? Best Renaissance painter or best Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? Google time is allowed. And best, not favorite. I don't know how you tell best.
And specifically painting, not sculpture.
Yeah. She does say painter, so I'm going to do a little Googling while you guys talk.
Raphael is probably the better painter.
Yeah, but I mean, Michelangelo does have the Sistine Chapel. And
well, yeah, he's got some very large accomplishments as far as like marketing-wise. But if you look at Raphael's work, he's got a lot more texture and light play to it than Michelangelo does.
See, and again, we went with best, and like I have to give Michelangelo props because in the wall of the Sistine Chapel, he actually has one of the cardinals that pissed him off.
Yeah,
he painted in as going to hell.
Yep,
and like
he stuck some shit in his art.
Like that makes me just go like but. Best, I could have Raphael. But,
I mean, if you're talking, I mean, it really does depend on how you're defining best. Yeah. If you're looking at technique, I would say that Raphael probably has the better technique, but I prefer Michelangelo's stuff.
I think, but again, Michelangelo didn't want to paint. He wanted to sculpt.
Yeah.
Painting was a means to an end. He was really, really good at it. But actually, know what? It is Raphael. Because Michelangelo didn't like painting, and so his frescoes were shit, because he didn't do it right. He kept doing frescoes wrong, and they would keep peeling, and they'd having to be redone, because his technique when he was doing fresco was terrible, because he didn't fucking like doing it.
Yeah, I was... Like so I Raphael, said, from absolutely. A technique perspective, it's totally Raphael.
I will bow to the superior wisdom of my cohorts. And also,
either that or we are bullshitting. Either that or we are making.
Having looked at photos of like both people's paintings online, of an era, I think I like more of the Michelangelo stuff.
Exactly,
but
I do too. I also think Michelangelo is a little bit more progressive in his form.
But I can see Raphael perhaps.
Raphael had a little bit more traditional.
Yeah, the more studied hand, though, like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if you're looking at like what it, as much as you can, like the objective best. Fine, I can get that. That he's a guy that was trying to do that.
Oh, but Michelangelo had better human forms because he did dissection.
And as far as best Ninja Turtle, now that's a lot harder Raphael. To quantify. I think Michelangelo because he brought the funny and also nunchucks are cool.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was just annoying.
I think to our adults, like but he was the funny one.
He was the funny one, but even when I was a kid, it was just like, this guy is annoying. Raphael was the badass. And badasses were cool.
Mm-hmm.
Question three. Slather or peel? And we got it.
Awesome.
Well, we got close.
Oh.
In which way do you treat sunburn? As in slather with aloe or peel? To be fair, it's a combination. We have to pick one or the other. I definitely am a peeler.
I
will sit and peel. Because you remember, like, we were doing AON that last time that Port and I had to redo our camping site at Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I had that whole day where I got out and got sunburned so bad working on it. And then our platform, we spent like 6 hours out there. And I burned so much, I was crying. It hurt so bad, but I kept laughing because it hurt so bad. Because, like, what else can you do? And I was just peeling swaths.
Yeah.
So I'd wake up stuck to my blankets and pillow. I had so many blisters would pop in the night. And it's just like, what can you do but laugh or go mad?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it was just like, okay, so, like, I would put some stuff on it, but not nearly what you
it
could.
It is well documented that I do not like putting things on my skin.
Me too, yes. I've had long-standing hatred of soaps, lotions, shampoos.
My wife did some research into this, and apparently people with ADD, this is a very common thing, that they don't like having things on their skin.
The boy has huge texture issues.
Yeah. Oh, I can't, because everybody else will go 5 seconds later, they're like, oh, it's evaporated, or it's gone. It's like, no, I can still fucking feel it.
I feel it until I take a shower.
Hours.
Yep.
And I like I put butt cream on my kids, and I have to go wash my hands because I can't feel it.
Yep.
So I don't put lotions and shit on. I will. And thankfully, I have a fairly high pain threshold, so I just let it peel.
To be fair, I have very similar things, but I've learned to find lotions that I am good with having on my body
spray,
and that I might
sunblock,
feel comfortable with.
I can kind of handle. That's become a new compromise for me lately.
There are
I think
certain
Nick and Molly
things,
do that.
But even like so you
we
feel it no matter what.
It's been a while.
Fuck
yeah, I agree.
You feel it no matter what, but you know you can feel somebody touching you, and it kind of depends on how they're touching you. Mm-hmm. There are certain lotions that I can feel that I'm like, oh no, that feels kind of nice. Anything with a menthol in it feels kind of nice to me, honestly.
But that gives like a cooling sensation.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah. No, I definitely.
But, and again,
that's
not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you know, I like getting spanked. I don't know.
No, that's the thing.
I
don't mind a lot of really horrible shit happening to my body for either just endurance or pleasure, but oils and lotions freak me out.
And
it really
does.
Let me give you a back rub. And if I hear, I go, nope, we're done.
I did get a massage once. It was like a birthday present or something like that. I got a half-hour massage at a place, and it felt really fucking good, but then I put my shirt on and walked out and went home and took a shower.
Yep, I took a shower and walked
out. Because by the time I got home, I could still feel it on my back.
I can't handle that shit.
It does depend. There's some oils that I'm okay with and some that I'm just not. And it tends to be the lighter ones that do actually like rub in and soak into your skin as opposed to the oily shit that just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
For me it kind of depends, but at the end of the day, if I get a sunburn, I'm going to peel, so...
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
Question 4, Hot Topic or Yonan Vasquez? Which is to blame for the cutinization of goth culture?
Hot Topic.
I think Hot Topic is a broader audience.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Because every idiot that walks through a mall sees a Hot Topic. Not every idiot... Well, only idiots pick up Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Yeah.
But, shot of the bow. But, I look forward to your letters. Oh, except you can't email me! But in all honesty though, like Hot Topic says broad reach.
Except they can, I think. I think the email still works.
Does it?
I think so.
It's on the same everything.
But I think the email still.
There's still. I mean, there are aspects of the domain that still work, and I think the email.
I think I logged into the email just a couple days ago.
What?
The email?
I've not gone to the email site in years. I've just had that shit fumbled in my Gmail. So.
No.
Yeah, me too.
I like to keep things separate.
Question 5. Cheese or veggies? Oh, this tells you what the era of this question is.
Oh, God.
What touches the mayo on your sandwich?
Oh, my God.
That is a deep pull, except it probably wasn't at the time this was written.
Oh, my God.
This actually came up recently.
Yeah.
Where we referenced this, and I honestly have no idea.
I don't either.
About, because it didn't matter. We just argued for the sake of arguing.
We argued vociferously and voraciously about it.
Because it was fun to argue, and I don't remember which
side of the argument
I was
on.
I just knew, like, oh, I can fuck with salsa by picking the opposite, and that's all we did. And you were doing the same thing.
That was a fun argument,
too. Yeah, we just let it escalate until we had the peanut butter and jelly compromise.
Yes, the answer is meat. You put mayo on your buns to prevent the meat juices from soaking through.
Depends on the meat. I'm sorry,
somebody's a sandwich guy.
No, I'm thinking about at home. At work, mayo is the first thing we put on because...
But I put mayo on top and bottom, so it's such as meat and something
else.
Well,
here's the thing. If we're talking about making yourself a sandwich with slices of bread from a loaf of bread, that's one thing. If we're talking about going to a sub shop like I work at, the reason that mayo goes first is because what you're getting is a sandwich bun sliced in half, folded open, meat and cheese on it.
Yep.
Mayo always goes first, followed by mustard, because I dare you to spread mayo on shredded lettuce.
Yep.
It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So there's actually just there's the reason things are listed in a certain order, because otherwise you can't put one on top of the other.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different animal. So I'm discarding that.
Because you're actually scraping on as opposed to squirting on.
Right. And so that to me
like
is
a Subway.
Yeah, you have to disregard all that idea like a sandwich shop.
No, we're talking about at home.
But at home, the way I make a sandwich is 2 pieces of bread, mayo on one slice, mustard on the other, and then I start layering meats, cheeses, whatever's, and then smack them together. But it doesn't matter really what's on
mayo on the meat side, mustard on the veggie side.
I don't necessarily have a veggie side, because it might be mayo then meat or mayo then cheese and then mustard then meat or mustard then cheese then some lettuce then some tomatoes.
I will probably,
it just depends on what I feel like putting on that sandwich or what I happen to have around.
But I will usually put,
you want to throw some Doritos on there. Sometimes that goes right on the mayo because the mayo makes them stick better.
Sure.
This is, I'm actually going with veggie, and here is why. If you have two slices of meat or two slices of bread, and the cheese is touching one side and the meat is touching the other side, and you have the veggies in the middle, there's nothing holding them in.
Yes.
Whereas if you put the cheese in the middle, now you've got the veggies against the bread, and the bread is going to hold the veggies in place. So I'm going veggies against the mayo.
I think I'm inclined to agree based on that logic. Because, and again, that's also without introducing the third slice of bread, which I often do.
Well, the club sandwich is, you know.
Because the frequent way I make sandwiches, mayo, meat, cheese, slice of bread with mustard, flopped onto that to finish a sandwich, then mayo the top of that piece, mm-hmm. veggies, another set of meat, and then mustard, put that on top. So
when
that
I was a kid,
holding everything together.
When I was a kid, I thought I was so smart because I invented the triple-decker peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I didn't know what a club sandwich was at this point in time. I grew up on a farm. We didn't have fancy things like club sandwiches. So,
how do you feel about Philly toothpicks?
They're fucking futuristic. but I was so smart because I was like, I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I can put fucking peanut butter on that and put another piece of bread on it. Now it's triple decker, and I was so smart. And now, like, it's triple decker peanut butter and jelly sandwich is just what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to make a three bread sandwich.
They're so good.
Whenever I make a sandwich. Unless I'm just like,
because it's the only way to make me not hungry.
Yeah, the thing is, if I just like, if it's one of those things where I've been up doing stuff for too long, like, for instance, tonight. Although it's not as late as I thought, but like on the average night where I get done recording and I'm doing whatever and it's 1:30 in the morning and I haven't eaten since 3, I'll be like, I need to eat something, but I don't need a lot. Then I'll make just a simple sandwich, you know, meat, cheese, little mayo, little mustard, done. But if I'm gonna go, okay, it's time for dinner, and tonight dinner at 5 o'clock is a sandwich. It's going to be three pieces of bread with all the other shit.
Yep.
So, assuming we're going for the smaller sandwich where you don't have as many flexibility options, I'm going to say, I'm agreeing with Salsa here, that veggies, and I will amend that to say, and or chips. So you can put chips in your sandwich. Yeah. You know, the same thing, keeping shit in place. Those are the ones
that
touch
the mayo.
Well,
I mean, the veggies are just kind of the extras. So.
Yeah. Well, if you're a McElroy brother, from my brother and me, they'll be like, the only reason anyone puts lettuce on their sandwich is because they saw it on TV once. All you're looking for is texture. Put some fucking Fritos on that shit.
I love spinach on a sandwich.
I agree. I'm on your side, Jen. However, I'm just saying, I do agree that is another thing, that's another style of sandwich. There are people that would go, they'll forego lettuce or whatever it might be. They just want crunch, and they go, chips. I like the crunch, and I like, honestly, like the watery lettuce, or even sometimes the bitters of the spinach.
Yeah.
Those are both good things.
Pickle or,
you know,
something.
No, pickle's great, yeah. And so, like, you get those deli-sliced pickles. Peanut butter pickle sandwich, oh my god, I introduced Megan to that last week. She's like, what are you making here? I'm like, fucking Depression-era food for my grandma, you know? She's like,
yes.
Can I try and buy it? And she's like, I can see why people would like this. I'm like, exactly.
And then if you go with the bread and butter pickles...
Oh, yeah.
Where they're nice and sweet. Oh.
Yeah. Now I'm fucking hungry. God damn it. I just had White Castle.
Well, no wonder you're hungry.
Dude, I had so much White Castle.
Because your stomach is like, can I have some real food, please?
No, White Castle is the realest of real. I just want more White
Castle. Real disgusting.
Real awesome, you piece of shit.
Real disgusting. There's nothing redeeming about White Castle.
Salsa's fired. Come back next week when we have a new third host.
You also dislike Arby's and
I love fucking Arby's. Are you kidding?
I think we're all on board with Arby's.
I swear to God, like 2 months ago, I had this huge argument with you guys over Arby's.
But was it funny to make you be wrong?
Probably.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Accountable for anything I say on this
totally
show.
I like Arby's.
Then I'm going to bring this up again.
I love Arby's.
Then I'm going to bring this
Arby's
up again.
Arby's is my preferred fast food.
I'm going to bring this up again then. You guys, they have loaded curly fries.
I don't like curly fries. That might have been the argument.
Loaded curly fries has like gravy and cheese and ranch dressing. It's basically ghetto poutine.
But I don't like curly fries.
Well, it's just the shape.
Nope, to the point. No, they're not. They're always seasoned.
No, they're seasoned.
Oh, you don't like the seasoning?
Nope.
Yeah, they are seasoned.
I enjoy the seasoning.
However, should try the loaded curly fries.
No, I will try them for science.
Yeah, obviously.
Can you order the loaded curly fries with regular fries?
Possibly. I haven't tried it.
If I could, I absolutely would.
Ghetto poutine
I would assume that you can. But yeah, it's basically...
Because if I can go to Arby's and get a roast beef sandwich at ghetto poutine,
We absolutely do need a fast food poutine that is good. That's an idea whose day has come.
And here's the thing. I
nominate Wendy's, honestly.
The Arby's poutine at Wendy's would be way better.
Wendy's has the right kind of fries that if you throw movie theater shit nacho cheese on it and a little bit of fucking gravy... You're there.
And that's essentially what the Arby's is with the curly fries. So they got the curly fries, they got the gravy, they got the nacho cheese. They also add like some ranch dressing. And
ranch is fine. I like ranch.
And I can see that. Bacon.
And bacon. You can't go wrong. We put bacon.
Yeah. The bacon is...
No, I would say they're real close to perfect there. So but I think absolutely.
But Wendy's has some pretty good bacon too.
Wendy's has good bacon because their bacon and cheddar potatoes great.
Mm-hmm.
But
they have cheese, I think.
They have a little more all-American fry. They're a little more thick-cut than McDonald's. Yep. They're not as salty.
I think Arby's has them on cheese, though.
That may be. That could be.
Because Arby's has... Like,
and this, by the way, folks, like if they're not mentioned on this show, listen to Doughboys, one of my new favorite podcasts, which is Mike Mitchell and Nick Weiger, one of whom is from the Birthday Boys. You might have seen the sketch improv show on Netflix now. But they go and review chain restaurants every week. And it is amazing watching people for an hour, hour and a half, talk about Taco Bell. So, and this is like...
I think Arby's got them on cheese.
They haven't done Arby's yet, but they've done Wendy's. I really think they talk about the fries. So they did their Mount Frymore
episode. I'm sorry, I just can't get behind square patties.
There's so much to talk about. We should have started earlier. Anyway.
Matt is going straight to a fast food place to get some food.
Dude, you know how hard... Oh, I went to fucking Hardee's because I listened to that podcast. I was like, I gotta go to Hardee's.
I love... Actually,
they did a Carl's Jr. episode and I was like, I gotta go to Hardee's.
No, Hardee's sourdough is really...
I used to eat their sourdoughs. My favorite at Hardee's was always the ham and cheese, which I don't even know if they have anymore.
It's like on the dollar menu or maybe, something yeah, like
because
that,
it's like... But as a kid, before there was... I think when we were kids, did Carl's Jr. already own Hardee's? They used to be two separate companies.
I've never seen a Carl's Jr.
Oh, you don't hear. Those exist on the West Coast.
I've never seen one, so I don't know.
Yeah, but the Carl's Jr. now owns Hardee's. But Hardee's was its own entity, and... Yeah. I think as a kid, the Hardee's I went to in Shakopee was back when Hardee's was just Hardee's.
Yep.
And now that those two are amalgamated, the menu has changed to basically be Carl's Jr. for the Midwest. And they lost some of the local flavor and brought in some different things. And so what used to be, what I kind of think of, you know, like the medium roast beef from Arby's? You know, it's a picture sandwich that size. Mm-hmm. That is my mental ideal of the... Hot ham and cheese from Hardee's, but that doesn't exist anymore, and I think that's because of the merger, and that bums me out a little bit. So like Hardee's has like this weird sweet spot in my brain, but it does that doesn't exist anymore.
Is it Hardee's that has the jalapeno burger now?
I mean, at this point, everybody has a jalapeno burger.
That's true. You know? Or like, I think a Wendy's is the one that has
Wendy's
the really,
certainly does because I've had one.
Yeah, Wendy's does have the really really good jalapeno burger and the jalapeno chicken burger.
Yeah, which actually, that kind of kicks your ass a bit. Wendy's, I think, still is the best chicken sandwich you can get.
I kind of agree with that.
The best. And honestly, and this is the thing, this actually came up on the Burger King episode. Burger King being maybe number two, because they're just like that big kind of sub-shaped chicken sandwich from Burger King.
Oh, I haven't had it.
That's the one, I used to get that all the time in high school. And I don't like Burger King at all, but that chicken sandwich is pretty good.
I honestly, and as weird as this is going to sound, Burger King, is it Burger King's? Yes, they're onion rings.
And see, I've never gotten onion rings there.
But their onion rings are shitty onion rings, because, like, you bite into them and it's not onion, it's like... reprocessed onion into a ring, but their sauce.
But it's the right kind.
They're tangy, like onion ring sauce.
Sure.
They're
like rodeo burgers. That the same
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But you get that tangy onion ring sauce, and you put that on a burger.
I can see that. But that's the thing is that like sometimes it's like you're not doing a good version of X. But you're doing your version of this thing.
And no, and that's exactly it. Is there not good onion rings?
Yeah, Taco Bell is not Mexican food. Taco Bell is Taco
But they
Bell.
Hit my happy spot.
Taco Bell, yeah, for sure. All right, this got weird. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I was like, all right, they're just going to go off for
dear
a while.
Listeners.
We're fat guys.
We are not talking to anyone right now because our website is down, and therefore we are just... what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
I believe that's the way AA defines it.
Yeah.
At least while I was there.
Were
so,
you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did AA for like 6 months.
I had no idea.
He got the coin, don't you remember? Oh, I suppose this was before
actually,
your
I gave
time.
It to Jade during the amateur show to see if she might get some extra bonus points from Tim for turning that in.
Nice.
But yeah, no, that is the, at least the AA certified definition. I don't believe that's a clinical definition of shit. But, yeah, no, we're doing this because fucking patterns and habit. So, and honestly, because one day people will hear these. Whenever we do get the website sorted out, you're going to suddenly have 5 episodes and go, oh shit, they gave me a ton of shit to listen to this week. Yay! I hope, is how people react to that.
Yay!
Or they just skip to the most recent one and give no fucks about whatever they might have missed in the meantime, because continuity isn't that big of a...
Either that or we're all senile and we keep doing this because we don't know any better and our kids right now are just sadly shaking their heads.
Yeah, we're all just in a snow globe held by some autistic kid. Anyway, on that note, I mean, whatever. Come to Convergence.
Hey, I'll plug my stuff. That.
Yeah, plug it. Who knows?
I'm going to be judging for Vilification Tennis this week.
I saw that you replied 6 seconds before me.
Yeah,
because
no.
I had to get up and walk to my kitchen to check my calendar.
Oh, hey, look at this. Done.
Yep, I sat down to type it, and then it went bloop, and I was like, God damn it. So, well played.
Yeah, so Eric Knight and I will be judging... Villapalooza.
The Battle of the Amateur Winners.
Right.
She's going to get real.
Oh my God. It's going to be fucking
It's
going to
get real something, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. My God. I mean, do you guys, do you remember who all we have? We have the Glovers, we have Duck, we have Kirky and
Becky.
And
people that would
and
kick
Warren,
our ass, that's
Warren.
Fucking
Warren.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah,
right?
It's a really strong
like,
crew.
Seriously, some of the strongest people we've had recently.
Yeah,
and
the thing is,
all together.
When people think of, like, oh, it's the amateur winners, none of those people are thought of as that anymore.
No.
Except for maybe Becky, because she's the most recent.
Sure.
But otherwise, people don't think of them as just vilifiers and probably just think of them as one of the top vilifiers, because they are all very strong. And so they went from being like, oh, they're the new hotness, to just being like, nope, they fucking walked in and were like, I set up shop and then wrecked that shop.
Yep.
So, like, it's going to be a really good show. I think I'm just going to go watch.
Yeah.
Because I missed my shot at judging, so I think I'm just like, fuck it, I'm going to talk to Megan and be like, hey, let's just go watch, because I don't have to do shit, and it's kind of fun to watch Vilten when you don't have to be in it.
Right? There
and just enjoy it as an audience member. I only do that like once, twice a year.
I gotta
it's kind
say,
of fun.
Like, I really love doing the assisting and the judging and the kind of side stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I'm old.
You are old.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing this for a while, and I'm
getting pretty fucking decrepit.
I really am. You guys, it's past my bedtime.
Truth. So, yeah, come see Vilten this weekend. I don't think we have any other shows before Convergence.
No, there's no other Fearless stuff going on.
Yeah. So, that said, if you're at Convergence, you know how to find us. Come to fucking the Fearless Party Room. Go see Vilten. Come to the Masquerade Halftime Show.
Yeah.
Check out opening ceremonies. Check out closing ceremonies. We're involved in various parts of
check
those.
Check out Woman of Wonder at 8, Room 6 on Friday at 3:30.
I will most likely be in the audience next to you, either drunk, hungover, or a combination of the two.
Probably, yeah.
You know what else you find at Convergence? Really long lines.
You do.
And long lines suck. Wouldn't long lines suck less if you had something to listen to? Go to Vault 404 and click on the Terms of Disagreement link.
Yeah!
Terms of Disagreement podcast. We have 3 episodes up now. They're all really good, and they're only half an hour long, so you don't have to listen to us drone on and on like some other podcasts
I
know.
Yeah, no, that's an exciting new show that Salsa is producing.
Oh, yeah.
It's going
to
be
a lot of fun. It really, really is. It's basically listening to a bunch of people debate nonsense, which is what you're going to hear at Convergence a lot.
It is the equivalent of when we really get into a Fast 5 question.
Yeah.
Except that, like, someone just kind of chums the water so that you know it's going to be, like, intense. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good fun. Yeah, it's a great show. Cool. With that, we will be out of here for this episode or this week or however we're marking time at this point. Bananas, I don't know. So, thanks again for those of you that have hung out and stuck with us and rejoined us once we're back live. And welcome to anybody new. And how did you find us if you're new? That's weird.
Especially because we don't exist on the internet right now.
Yeah. So,
although once we do exist on the internet again someday, maybe, hopefully, this could be their first podcast.
Someday we will look back on
this. Awkward, but yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Eat the fucking coffee cake.
Or just the cake. I like cake.
Or just drink the coffee.
Okay, eat some fucking cake and drink some cold press.
There you go. True stuff.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Ladies and gentlemen, my beer and I would like to remind you to support the incomparable Brandon Muffuckin' Patton, whom you can find at BrandonPatton.com. He's been kind enough to donate all the music you've heard so far tonight. You may also find him on tour with MC Frontalot, whom you can find at Frontalot.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show directly, please leave us a review or rating on iTunes, and you can even donate money through PayPal on our website, AONPodcast.com. Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.